or their management.
I'd like to welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community, trying to build some economic empowerment up in here. The mission of the show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we accomplish this mission with business development, job creation, and service. Now, if you have a business or if you know someone who's in business, then you need to get the information you need to be successful. We have all these businesses out here, they're not succeeding, and I have a problem with that. Because it's avoidable. This business failure is avoidable. Some things in life you just have no control over. We can't decide if it's going to snow or sun's going to shine or if it's going to rain. The crazy man in the White House decides to do another crazy thing tomorrow. But some things we can't control. We can get the knowledge we need to improve our fate. We can get the knowledge we need to improve our lives. We can get the knowledge we need to improve the state of our community. Right now, our community is not in the best shape. I must say so. Now, I'm always optimistic and positive that things can be better. But right now, we got some issues here that we need to fix. A big part of it is our economic situation, our economic status, our place on the totem pole and the economic hierarchy. We kind of hang around that bottom rung, and that's not a good place. I'm not comfortable there. I'm not comfortable for my community to be there. I was checking out some stats recently, and I'll share those stats later in the show. But my point is that we have this show, and I'm not going to say I'm some type of Svengali that has all the answers, but I have quite a few of them when it comes to business development, marketing, getting customers, bringing your business up to another level. If you haven't started your business and you need to, and you're thinking about it, then this is a great show to tune in. If you have a business and you're trying to make it better, trying to get more sales, trying to get things onto a sound footing, then this show is a great resource. This show is a great resource. I have a lot of cred in this industry. I've been a marketing guy for almost 30 years. I have started businesses. I've worked with businesses. I've been marketing vice presidents. I've been president of corporations. I have enough information in this big head of mine to at least for somebody listening to what I have to say. Now, you don't have to agree with everything, but I tell you, most of this stuff have come through the school of hard knocks as well as the books. And if I had to place value of one above the other, I would say the information I've learned down in the trenches by actually doing it. And that's what sets me apart from a lot of these other companies and marketing people that you're going to talk to. They talk a big game, but they haven't done it. I've done it. I'm still doing it. I do it every day at my company, Gatewood Marketing. And I ask you to go to gatewoodmarketing.com and check out my company, the services that we offer, some of the clients I've helped. I have people right on the homepage that I've worked with, helped them grow. And check out some of those affordable packages that we have. I have the show is here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. I have a great lineup of guest hosts. And one of them on the line right now is none other than the erudite, talented, professional, magnanimous attorney, Tisha Hillman. Good morning. Good morning, Tisha.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you always, Tisha, because one thing I do know, besides being a very talented attorney, you're also a foot soldier in the fight of social justice and human rights. And you do not bite your tongue when it comes to trying to right some of the societal wrongs. You don't mind challenging authority, and you have no love lost for the crazy man in the White House. So I must say,
oh Lord have mercy.
Don't get you started.
Yeah, you know.
Well, we have a great show today, Tisha. I'm going to be talking about later in the show. I'm going to talk about B2B marketing. That stands for business to business. Most people see the acronym, the big B, the number two, and another big B. Well, it stands for business to business marketing, and business to business marketing is different than consumer marketing. There's some similarities. It's all about, you know, the biggest similarities about targeting, making sure you're going after the right audience. I'm going to talk about some ways to target and talk about some strategies, a way to reach that business to business market. If you have a business that sells to other businesses, other organizations, whether it's a nonprofit, government agency, or a business in your group, then you want to tune in and you want to tell others who may be also in the same predicament or opportunity, because it is an opportunity to sell to other businesses. The good thing about selling to businesses, of course, is that businesses have budgets. They write checks. When you're writing to customers, you have to keep selling that joker over and over and over again. You get the right business account, man, you could really set yourself a life by just getting the right business account. Now, teacher said amen, like she knows that to be the fact. Get the right business account, and it can change your life. That's why I feel it very important today to talk about business-to-business marketing. And, teacher, what are you going to hit us with later on in the show?
Well, I am going to talk to the incredible listening audience about marital property. And I'm going to talk about specifically the property that people don't think about, retirement.
Ooh.
When you have a retirement plan and you get a divorce, you will end up sharing that retirement plan.
Oh, boy. Well, I know there's a lot of folks out there in our audience. We have two very distinct but very equally important audiences. We've actually grown the business community that listen to the show. The reason I get the calls every week from people who are business owners. Some are young, some are millennials, some are just starting out. And we have a very, very popular audience of people who go all the way back to the beginning days of WOL. A lot of those folks have retired, some are nearing retirement, and they are also a very, very loyal listening base. And I love them both. I love my business audience listeners, and I love my original WOL listeners. And so I'm sure they'd be very interested in that retirement income, because that's something most people don't think about. They think they got this retirement plan sitting over here, this 401k, this 403b, this pension or whatever. And they figure, I guess, well, when I retire, this is mine. I'm going to keep it. So sound like teachers saying, hey, not so fast, not so fast. So you want to tune in. You definitely want to stay tuned for that later in the show. And so teacher will be here also to provide commentary and on the many things we talk about, such as things that are happening in the news. We have Jeff Sessions, for instance, right now. I'm amused every day, teacher, about how many ways the Trump administration can describe a lie. Every day they find a new way to lie, or to misrepresent, or misforget, or misremember, or provide an alternative fact. I was watching Al Franken. Al Franken, for many people don't realize, Al Franken was a character on Saturday Night Live. He's now a senator, I think from Maine. And he was questioning Jeff Sessions about his conversation with the Russians. He didn't nuance the question. He didn't say, did you speak to the Russians in your senator hat or arms relation committee hat or your surrogate of Trump hat? He asked him point blank, did you have discussion with the Russians? And he said, matter of fact, he didn't even ask him that. He asked him, did you know somebody who has involved in conversation? And he volunteered that I'm a surrogate of the Trump administration. I know I haven't spoken to the Russians. And therein lies the reason why now he is no longer able to investigate the Trump administration for their dealings with Russia, because he recused himself. But I'm just curious, though, teacher, does that, I've heard many different definitions of perjury, and there's some exceptions. If you didn't mean to lie, you can lie, but if you didn't mean to lie, and I understand that perjury is a tough thing to prove. What's your take on that?
So in terms of perjury, I mean, I think it's very, very simple. You willfully made a misrepresentation. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's funny when you say, hey, the different ways that they can describe a lie.
Right.
Yes, a lie can also just be a misrepresentation. You knew something was not true and you said it, or you knew that you were leaving out very pertinent information, you know, those little white lies. You know, I didn't really lie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and as an attorney, Jeff Sessions certainly knows how to formulate a sentence so as to, you know, leave out information that could be harmful to him. The problem is he made these statements under oath.
Mm-hmm.
He made these statements in writing under oath.
Yep.
And he made these statements to committees that, you know, that help run our country. And it's highly problematic. And I think the what you said, just the different ways that not only can they lie, but lie and get away with it. That's what baffles me, is that there's so many different things that are said, and yet I feel like no one's being checked on these things.
Yeah, that's the part that, well, I tell you, I had a big problem with Jeff Sessions from the beginning. I've watched him throughout the years, and my background is political science. I don't know if that's one of the many hats I wear. I wear more hats than a hatter, but my undergraduate degree was in political science. I studied pre-law, and I've studied government. Most of my education days, I was in the political background, and I've studied people like Jeff Sessions. I remember him when Coretta Scott King had written a letter to say, don't let this guy become a judge back in 1986 when he was trying to be a federal judge. And I've also watched him when he was one of the first senators to jump on board of the Trump bandwagon when everybody else was calling him crazy. He was one of the first people to jump on board. And that alone should disqualify him.
Exactly, because he knew the level of crazy, because he has the same level of crazy.
That alone should disqualify him to be the Attorney General of the United States. And so he should have recused himself the minute he came on board, because as an adherent and diehard fan of Donald Trump, he should not have been in a position to have to investigate these dealings with the Russians. And I still don't know what these guys, why they're so in love with Russia. I mean, even if you like Russia, that's one thing. But has anybody in the administration not talked to the Russians? I guess that's the question now.
See, like, right.
It's a shorter list of finding people who haven't talked to the Russians. So anyway, we're gonna let this one play itself out. I think, but it goes back. Everything to me has to be run through a marketing prism. We can talk about the Jeff Sessions and the Donald Trumps and all the other people over there on the Hill and the White House. But we have to always come back to, how is this going to affect me? What can I be doing right now to shore up my finances, my future, the future of my children, the future of my family, my friends, my neighborhood? And I'm going to share some numbers about business economics. It's really going to shock you when we look at African American businesses and other communities, how in such a bad shape we are. We're always talking about building these businesses in our community, and you're going to understand why I am so adamant about it when I share these numbers with you when I come back from the break. Hang on there, teacher, and hang on, listeners. This is the Marketing Pulpit. The number is 1-800-450-7876. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1480 AM, WOL, and 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL Traffic and Weather Report brought to you by MGM National Harbor. On 295 northbound, that long-term construction will slow you down once again today. Heading up from the 11th Street Bridge to East Capitol Street, southbound 295 is slowing from Benning Road past East Cap right now. 3rd Street Tunnel also today, that long-term road work to slow us down. Southbound is slowest now from Massachusetts Avenue down to the U.S. Capitol exit. Northbound is slow from Massachusetts Avenue up to New York Avenue. A new capital of entertainment, from innovative dining to Vegas caliber acts. Come play at MGM National Harbor. This is monumental. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now your WOL weather forecast. Could see a snow shower, otherwise a peak of sunshine later today. A high near 42. Clear overnight, down to 25. Tomorrow, sunny, and a high near 40 degrees. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM. WOL, where information is power.
Information is power. Economics is power. Money is power. Knowledge is power. What are you going to do with it, though, once you get it? Whether it's money or information, just having it for having it's sake is not good enough. Are you using it to empower others, to help others, to bring people along with you. I love my brothers and sisters who've gotten good government jobs and who've working in corporate America, Fortune 500 companies. I love that you're doing something, but we gotta get a little more. We gotta go a little deeper than that. There's a website called Black Demographics. They put out some numbers that I want to share with you. And the power of business ownership and how it can affect your community in real live numbers. For instance, according to this statistics, there are about 55.9 jobs created by white-owned businesses, and it generates about $12.9 trillion. And they have the power to actually write a check for $102,000 for every working age white American, $102,000 a year based on their economy. We go down the ladder to the Asian-owned businesses. They create about 3.8 million jobs, and they are able to employ about 33% of the working age Asian American population. That's about a $793.5 billion of annual revenues, and they could write a check for every working age Asian American for about $67,000 a year. That's pretty good.
Wow.
Move on down the line. We get to Hispanic owned businesses, create about 2.5 million jobs. They could hire about 8% of the working age Hispanic population, and they could write a check to every working age Hispanic American about $14,000 a year. I mean, that's not gonna make you rich, but you could probably still eke by.
Right.
Then we get to black-owned businesses, and out comes the violins. We create about 1 million jobs, about 2.6 million black-owned businesses, but it only creates about 1 million jobs. So you do the math on that, which tells you that the average black-owned business does not have a full-time employee. The average black-owned business really is about 95%, or actually one-person chops, that actually don't even do it full time. That's about 95% of the black owned businesses. We employ only 4% of the black working age population. 4%.
That's astonishing.
So before you go out here and start talking trash and bashing the other business owners, other types of businesses, where are you going to work if you're only able to hire 4% of the population in your community?
Yeah.
And we're only able to write a check for $7,000 to every black American through our business ownership. And you cannot live on $7,000 a year. So on one extreme, you have $102,000. On the very other extreme, only $7,000. That kind of tells you the predicament, the state of the black economy. We can only create 1 million jobs through our businesses. And of the 2.6 million businesses that exist, and we have a very population much greater, so we can only employ about 4% of the working age people. That just tells you how much work we have to do and why I am so adamant about coming on here every week. And I've always said, we create of that 2.6 million black-owned businesses, most of those are going to fail because they didn't do the due diligence of marketing, educating, getting the right resources, partnering, things that are vital to perpetuate a prosperous business community. Some of the things that I preach on this show every week, we're not doing, and a lot of those businesses are not going to do it. And so this 1.1 million jobs that are created is in a very precarious position. That number may drop if we don't change our dynamics on how we approach business. We need to partner more. And I'm also going to talk about later in the show about business to business. A lot of those strategies you really need to listen to. In the meantime, I want you to go to my website, gatewoodmarketing.com, and just find out more about what we do and how we help. And how we are helping change that dynamic. Also, go to Marketing Pulpit and follow what we're doing here. You can find out more about me and my guest host, Ms. Tisha Hillman. She's an attorney. Her information is right on the homepage, by the way. So if you, at any point during the show, you want to check her out and go to her website, call her, set up an appointment about any type of legal challenges that you have in her area of expertise, then definitely she's top notch, and that's why I have her on the show. So, teacher, those numbers are sobering, and it just highlights how much work we have to do, and it becomes more important now that we have a very very unstable administration that's running the country. So we have to take a more proactive approach of taking care of our own.
Absolutely.
Because you know what happens, teacher? If you look at a community, let's look at the Asian community. If Trump goes way off the deep end, they're going to be okay. They have solidified their economic base. They've embedded themselves in technology. They hire among themselves. They trade among themselves. And I'm not mad at them. They can write a check for almost $70,000 a year for every person in there that they hire. And that's a pretty safe place to be. I don't care who's in the White House. We still have found ourselves in this very precarious position of if we got to get a Democrat in, if we feel a little more comfortable with a Democrat in the White House. And so we're constantly pushing that agenda. And there's nothing wrong with that, except we should be in a situation more like the Asians. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. They're going to be okay.
Right.
Money talks.
Yeah.
Money trumps. No pun intended. Money trumps all that. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. If you got your money situation right, you will be okay. So anyway, folks, that's my that's kind of like a little sobering thought. Drives us back to our mission of building strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And those statistics kind of drive that point home better than anything I can say today. Now, here's something that's happening also, ladies and gentlemen. I've been beating this technology drum as well. I've been telling you folks, your job is not safe. I don't care what it is. You ask the taxi cab drivers who felt like, heck, a computer can't drive your car. Well, a computer can do that too, but they felt that they were kind of incubated because there was, they felt like, well, how can technology affect a driver? I'm just picking up folks from the airport and taking them home. A computer can't do that. Well, they didn't realize a thing called Uber would come along and really turn their world upside down. And so you have, as a business owner, I guess as a person in general, you have to look at every aspect, every facet of your life, particularly business owners, and say, how can technology affect me? I want you to look at it in a positive way first and say, what can I do? I said last week when we were talking about some of the other topics, when you're planning your next, when you're sitting around doing your marketing strategy, your business strategy, your hiring strategy, your operation strategy, if you don't have technology on the board, and if you don't have mobile on the board, then you need to go back to the drawing board, scratch out some of this other stuff on there about the color of the curtain, what kind of carpet you're going to put in, and what kind of cars you're going to get, and what kind of uniform you're going to get. Scratch some of those items off and write technology and mobile. Put that on the list and put it high up on the list, because it will affect how successful you will be going forward. I looked at a news article yesterday about Wendy's. Wendy's is going to be putting kiosk in 16% of their stores. That's about 1,000 locations by the end of the year. So all the folks, you've gone into Wendy's now to get your burger, you get up there, some little freckly-faced person there taking your order with an attitude, and that's kind of on the way out the door. Now, some of you may be celebrating, saying, well, shoot, but thank goodness, because they were mean to me anyway. They're popping their gum and had the attitude. Well, some of y'all, that was a lot of your kids. That was a lot of your kids out there working those jobs. Well, Wendy's rolling out these kiosks now is going to change that. It's also going to change this argument about minimum wage. A lot of folks say, well, let's get $15 an hour, we're going to minimum wage. I'm a realist. I think if the $15 an hour minimum wage ever comes into being, you're going to see kiosks popping up everywhere. And it's a force of nature. It's one of the laws of nature. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You push this minimum wage thing, as much as I would like for everybody to get paid what they deserved, the guys that write the check, they're going to come back with something else, believe me. They'll even agree with it. They'll say, okay, all right, we'll give you $15 an hour while they're working on their kiosk. So that's just something else to come on. So as you're planning for your next round of business development, make sure you include technology. While we're on the subject of hamburgers, this is something that's really, I thought this was just really funny. The Big Mac, And I talk franchises all the time. The Big Mac was the brainchild of a franchisee, this guy named Jim Delligatti. He came up with the Big Mac in 1967. He owned the McDonald's franchise, but he had a lot of steel workers and factory workers coming to the shop, and he'd give them this little slim hamburger. And of course, they were like, hey, wait a minute, it's not enough food. So he took the burger, put two pieces of meat on it, and slayed another burger in the middle and called it the Big Mac. He convinced Roy Kroc, the owner of McDonald's, and reluctantly, I might add, in 1968, to sign on to the Big Mac. But only a year later, 1969, the Big Mac was generating a whopping, no pun intended, 19% of McDonald's revenue. So another thing I want you to put on your board, besides technology and mobile, is innovation. What are you doing to innovate? What are you doing to change? What are you doing to upset the apple cart? What are you doing that can radically improve business development in general? Look at your area of expertise. You've been in there longer than anybody else. I'm saying to people who have businesses or who worked in jobs for a long time. You've been in it. You know it. You know where the bodies are buried. You know where the minds are. What can you do to innovate and revolutionize the area in which you operate? That's your thought for today. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Marketing Pulpit. The number is 1-800-450-7876. We're going to come back. We're going to have attorney Tisha Hillman. She's going to talk about marital property, divorce property, and what about those retirement accounts? Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM, WON, and 95.9 FM.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us from here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Carl Nelson here again, friends. Join us at 4 this afternoon when Power Talker Dr. Kabe Kimene checks in to discuss the state of education for black youth. Brother Kabe, also known as Booker T. Coleman, was featured in all of the Hidden Colors documentaries. He's an educator by trade, and today he'll discuss Trump's new education chief and the curriculum now offered by the public school systems. But before we get to Brother Kabe, movie producer Haile Gerima on the Oscars, his signature movie Sankofa, and more. The curtain rises at 4, so grab a seat and join us after Reverend Al on AM 1450 and also FM 95.9. Because you know, this is where the DMV comes to talk. WOL, where information is power.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Alrighty, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I have with me today attorney Tisha Hillman, and she's going to join us in a moment talking about how to separate this marital property in the event of a divorce. We've been talking about quite a few things today. Later in the show, I'm going to talk about business-to-business marketing, and so you want to stick around for that as well. We won't have the first Friday this tonight. I'm going to take a break from the first Friday. We're actually going to be relocating the event. We're going to change it up a little bit, get a little more, move it to a new location. Going to change the format quite a bit. So when we come back, we're going to come back leaner, meaner, greener, a few other rhymes. So if you have it on your calendar tonight, we will not be at the first Friday. If somebody happened to stumble in the building, I might be around there, but we will not officially have the first Friday. On the 21st of March, that's this month, the Maryland Women's Business Center Oben Bue will be hosting an event that I will be conducting as a marketing for social media and websites. Contact Miss Angie Duncanson. She's at 301-383-1550, extension 104, or go to the MarylandWBC.org. That's MarylandWBC.org, which stands for Women's Business Center, and slash on training. It's located at the Jericho Park Road in Bowie, 14,000 Jericho Park Road. That's an event coming up on the 21st of March. If you have an event you want to highlight on the Marketing Pulpit Show, give me a call, 301-839-2836, or go to Gatewood Marketing or MarketingPulpit.com. Either one, you can drop the information there. And also check out some of those packages we have there to help your business grow. Tisha.
Yeah.
You got our curiosity up over here, because I'm sure a lot of people are... They went and called their friends, they called their girlfriends, their husbands, their wives, their people they're fussing with, the ones they about to get into divorce with, or even before they marry them. They said, hey, let's lay some things out here. Let's talk about how the law works in case of property, in case somebody decides to divorce. So give us the skinny on that, because you got me curious.
So, you know, I talk on my weekly Blog Talk Radio that is on Wednesdays from 10 to 10:30.
And it's very good, by the way. Folks, also, check her out on Wednesday. She has a Blog Talk Radio show on the Marketing Pulpit. 10 o'clock, you find that on the Marketing Pulpit as well, or go to her website. Okay, I'm sorry, but I thought I'd give you a plug there.
No, I appreciate that. And my website is www.tshillmanlaw.com. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about prenuptial agreements. And I talked about prenuptial agreements in the context that prenuptial agreements allow you to basically circumvent the laws of the state, per se, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Because when it comes to divorce, mm-hmm. when you get married, there are certain things that happen, right? Not only do you, you know, marry the person of your dreams or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. but you also, from the day that you get married, you also essentially become part owner to their property.
Everything.
So any property that you acquire during the course of your marriage, generally speaking, there are some exceptions, but generally speaking, any property that you acquire during the course of your marriage is marital property. And so a prenuptial agreement allows you to exclude certain property if you wish, because the law says, okay, this property is marital property. A prenuptial agreement says, not this property, right?
Okay.
And so when it comes to pension plans and retirement plans, think about it this way. So say, for instance, I get married tomorrow,
okay.
and in my retirement account is $10,000.
Okay.
And I marry this incredible person, and 10 years later, we decide that this isn't working. Now, during that 10 years, my retirement account has increased in value from $10,000 to, say, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So $90,000 of my money is now marital property.
Get out
right?
of here.
And unless you had a prenuptial agreement to exclude that, it is marital property.
Let's say now, who determines whether it was 90%? I mean, who does that calculation of what percentage became part of the pie?
So it's not a percentage. What it is, whatever the amount of, specifically as it relates to retirement, mm-hmm. whatever amount your retirement account increased in value,
okay, gotcha.
from the time you got married is considered marital property.
So that's
unless it was a
finite number. So that's a number that's easy to find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what happens is, in some circumstances, the court can, you know, do a valuation of the property, because that's part of what the court does when they're doing marital distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the state, or property distribution, because in the state of Maryland, Maryland is what's called an equitable jurisdiction. So what that means is when they're making a determination as to who gets what,
mm-hmm.
what the court looks at, then they look at several different factors. And at the end of it all, under this overarching umbrella of equity, right, they make a determination. So it's not about what's equal, it's about what's fair.
All right, Tisha, hold on one second. Yeah. Let me give the audience, in case anybody has a question about this interesting topic, the number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. If you have a question about for our guest, for our host, Attorney Tisha Hillman, she's talking about marital property and distributing property once you go to divorce, call us at 1-800-450-7876. All right, Tisha, back to you.
Okay, so... so it's over this, the property is looked at under this umbrella of what's fair. Mm-hmm. And in order to determine what's fair, the Maryland courts look at several different factors, right? It's about 11 different factors. And it's all about, okay, how do we distribute this property fairly? And that may not be 50-50. It may be 70-30. But, you know, that's a facts and circumstances question, right? And so when you look at pensions, and any sort of retirement plan, right? It depends on the type of retirement plan that you have. But like, say, for instance, you have a plan that's not like a traditional 401k in which at the end of it all, you have that $100,000, but you have a different type of plan, that says, okay, well, when you retire, you're going to get a payment of $4,000 a month, okay, right? If you have that type of plan and you're getting a divorce, you know, there is something that allows your spouse to come in. If they are awarded that during the divorce, your spouse will now get 50% of that payment. So instead of you getting $4,000 a month, your spouse might get $2,000. Wow. And your spouse will get paid the other $2,000 a month.
Boy, I know that's breaking some people's hearts out here who thought they were going to get the whole. See, they kicked that dude out, they kicked that lady out, said, I'm through with you. They forgot they had that big old pension they were sitting on, though.
Mm-hmm. And they forgot that they didn't have a prenuptial agreement. Mm. And so if you want to do a prenuptial agreement before you get married and you want to protect this property and not have your pension up for grabs during a divorce, you may want to give my office a call at 301-744-7996. But essentially, whatever you acquire during the course of your marriage, if you didn't receive it by gift, if it wasn't inherited, if you didn't inherit it, or if you didn't exclude it in a prenuptial or antenuptial agreement, guess what? You're going to get less than what you thought when you retire because you got married and... now you're getting a divorce.
Now, Tisha, let me go back to the prenup for a minute, because I think this is important. That many people, when they think of prenup, they think of some rich guy with a yacht and an airplane, or a rich woman with a yacht and a plane, a movie star, a basketball player, and they're gonna they sign this prenup because they married somebody, the waitress, and now they want to protect their assets. But for everyday people, what you're saying, if I love this person and I come into this marriage and I didn't have a retirement account or I didn't have any pension plan, but I'm saying to you, look, I love you, I'm going to marry you, and I'm not looking at your pension plan over here, I will sign this prenup. So I guess for everyday people, what you're saying makes a lot more sense now when you talk in the context of a prenup agreement.
Absolutely. And I tell people, and part of what the show that I did a couple of weeks ago about prenuptial agreements, was essentially prenuptial agreements are your best friend. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to have a lot of money. Like you said, you don't have to have this lavish lifestyle in order to want to protect your interests. I think about a prenuptial agreement in the context of basically estate plan, mm-hmm. right? If you are trying to do estate planning, you're thinking about a will, you're thinking about trust, you're thinking about all these types of things. And at the end of it all, the whole purpose of what you're trying to do is protect your assets.
Right.
And I think about prenuptial agreements in that same package. It is in the package of protecting my assets. It doesn't mean if I'm getting married, it doesn't mean I don't love you.
Right.
It doesn't mean that, you know, I am, you know, already contemplating divorce and contemplating the failure of our marriage. It does mean that I'm interested in protecting my assets. Because do you really want to have, you know, maybe 50% of your retirement that you've worked for? Do you really want 50% of your retirement going to this man that cheated on you, or this woman who cheated on you,
wow.
or, you know, just a marriage that just did not work out? Generally speaking, you don't.
Most people won't.
Right.
That's almost a rhetorical question. Yeah, most people don't want that. So,
right.
But I guess, and back to the prenup, it's still, I think there's so much taboo and misinformation about it that mm-hmm. people assume that the minute you bring it up, that means you don't think this marriage is going to last. I guess that's the biggest hurdle for most people to overcome. How do you overcome that?
Well, you know, I have done counseling in my former life, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm not a therapist, right. So I can't really tell people how to work that out in the context of their particular relationship. But what I can say is this: if you can couch it to your partner before you get married and help them to understand that it's about protecting both parties' assets,
okay.
because both parties' assets are up for grabs at divorce. And so, you know, presumptively both parties have worked their entire lives. Both parties have a retirement plan, and both parties would want to keep that. So, you know, you can draft your prenup. You can have your prenuptial agreement drafted in a way that it says, you know, we both walk in, we walk out with what we came in with, and whatever we accumulated during the course of our marriage, in spite of what the law says the distribution should be, we are both going to decide that we're going to protect our assets. And so I think it's really, like you said, kind of breaking down those stereotypes of what a prenuptial agreement actually is when you have that conversation with your partner before you get married, and really helping them to understand that, listen, this is as important as doing a will.
Right.
Because at the end of it, it's about protecting your assets, whether that be from the government or from your partner.
And I
it's protecting your assets.
And I think it says something a lot about the partner, too, because if you go into a relationship and if your eyes are so busy looking over at what the other person has, it says a lot about you, because you should go in that relationship saying to yourself, look, I'm more worried about me, because I'm the one that's going to blow up here. I'm the one that's going to go out here and be the next Bob Johnson or Zuckerberg, or you know what I'm saying? So they should be looking at their own protecting themselves more so than worry about how much I can get from this other person in case we decide to divorce. So it says something about
Absolutely.
You, and it does make you wonder if somebody bucks up against it, then they should give that person a second thought, a second look.
I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
So that's good.
If you know, if you have questions about a prenuptial agreement and the things that you can protect in a prenuptial agreement, give my office a call. We do prenuptial agreements. We also do divorce cases. And, you know, if you have that conversation with your prenup about your prenup and now you need a protective order, we do those too. So my phone number is 301-744-7996. And I do want to be clear, I'm not making light at all of, you know, abuse and things like that. But just to say, we also do protective orders.
Right.
But it's at the end of it, protect your assets, protect your investments, because it's important.
Tisha, you bring it always. That is great information. Folks, call this sister, 301-744-7996. Go to her website, tshillmanlaw.com. You can also find her on the Marketing Pulpit website, marketingpulpit.com. Thank you, Tisha. Hang on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about business-to-business marketing. You don't want to miss it. Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk,
1450 AM, WOR, 95.9 FM. Good morning. This WOL traffic update is brought to you by your local Food Lion. Very slow on 295 northbound, beginning near the 11th Street Bridge up to East Capitol Street. It's the long-term work zone. Southbound 295, you're slow from Benning Road down to East Capitol Street, but nothing reported in the way. 3rd Street Tunnel also heavy as usual for the construction there as you approach or leave New York Avenue. The deals are heating up this week at Food Lion. Save on red, yellow, or orange Food Lion bell peppers, just $1.29 each, and pork back ribs, just $2.49 a pound. Food Lion, how refreshing. Now your WOL weather forecast, brought to you by Unbound. Peaks of sunshine today, a high near 42. Clear overnight, down to 25 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, a high near 40. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it'll change your own. Unbound.org. Steve Hirshhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM. WOL, where information is power.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses, saving jobs. We're trying to save our community and change some of those numbers we talked about earlier so that we can support the members and stakeholders in our community. Our young people need us. Our senior citizens need us. We have a government that's slowly turning its back on its most vulnerable citizens. All I can say, look, we don't want to be in that vulnerable camp. We want to be in that camp that can take care of our own and so that we don't have to depend on the government. And do that, the best, there is no better way to do that than to build successful businesses. I don't care. Of all the professions out there, it is nothing like a successful entrepreneur. And that does not exclude people like attorneys and doctors. They can be those and entrepreneurs, like Attorney Hillman. She's a successful attorney, and she is also an entrepreneur. Her own law firm, she writes her own check. And so she's got the perfect storm going on there. You don't have to be an attorney. You don't have to be a medical professional. You can be a handyman. You can be a restaurateur. You can be a lawn specialist. You can be a therapist. You can be a graphic designer, web designer. You can be an IT person and still be a entrepreneur and help change some of these dynamics of our community so that we can hire people, so that we can build an economic base from which we can thrive and which we can tackle some of the economic challenges that face our community. That's why the show is here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. That's why we bring you the good marketing gospel, and that's why I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and glad to be your messenger. I want to thank our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. If you need an office to help help put a good face on your company, call them at 301-322-1700. Miss Bernadette Clay, she has a great company over there, and she is actually the personification of everything we talk about here on the show as far as building economic viability and putting people to work. They have two exciting locations, one in Largo, Maryland at 9701 Apollo Drive, and they have one over now in National Harbor, right there on Oxon Hill Road across from Tanger Outlet. What I like about it now, when I put my new business cards together, I'm gonna put the Largo location and the National Harbor location so people can see me and say, wow, that guy must be rolling. Which I am. I am. Thanks to BLE. I give them hats off. Call them at 301-322-1700 or go to BLESuites.com. Now, let's talk business-to-business marketing. Everybody's seen that big old B and a 2 after it and another B after that. Many people hear it. They think they know what it's about. They scratch their heads. Then they get on back to doing things the wrong way. Marketing is marketing. It's all about audience. It's about hitting the right audience, targeting. What you don't want to do is waste your money going after a business that's not your customer. That hurts. I hate when that happens. Even if it is your customer, you don't want to go after you don't want to climb way up in the tree when there's low-hanging fruit right there in your eye, in your eye line. You don't want that fruit that's on the ground either, because that's going to rot soon. What you want to do is get that fruit right there in front of you that you can just reach out and pluck. And that's really what marketing is about. You don't want to have to climb all the way up in the tree, spend all your time and energy and money and going after people that's, it's not worth the effort. But you want to get that client that's right there that you can grab because you've done your marketing homework. And business to business is no exception. It's not different than traditional marketing when it comes to that regard. So if I can give anybody a marketing 101 truism that is timeless, marketing is about audience. It's about going after the right customer. Let's talk about some of the some ways you can target your audience when it comes to business to business. Let's talk about some of the targeting methodologies. The first one would be the type of business. So I'm gonna put my hat on here as somebody who's going after a business, after businesses. Let's say my company is a good example. I thrive on selling my services to other businesses. I don't sell to consumers, okay? People come to me because they want a marketing strategy, a business plan, they want a website, they want some social media training, they want a logo, they want some capability statement. So I have to train my sites on business owners. So the first thing I want to target on is the types of businesses. What is the type of business that's going to most likely use my service? I'll just right off the top of my head say attorneys is one of my best clients. I have more attorney clients than any other type of client. I mean, Tisha, Carmise, Eric, Michael Rozier, William Porter. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So as a marketer, I'm saying to myself, if this has worked in the past, there's a pretty good chance it's going to work in the future. So I want to target on a certain type of business. I also have a very good group of therapists who are clients of mine. Therapists, another big group. Another big group is people in the hair industry. So you first want to say, who are the types, what is the type of client that's going to most likely become my client? And that's where you want to train your sites. Okay? Right behind that, the professional specialty. What do they specialize in? So you might get even within that, if you're going after a certain type of attorney, you want to go after bankruptcy attorney or family law. The specialty, another way to train those targets just a little bit more. And sometimes it may even boil down to where you have a specialty of your own. So if you have some type of inclination or leaning or bias towards a certain specialty, that can also help you train your sites on the type of specialty. If you're going after, now every industry, whether they know it or not, can be classified in what they call the NAICS code, a NAICS, N-A-I-C-S. Government contractors know this, but that specialty code, if you're not sure, go look up, just Google NAICS and just type in a type of industry and it'll tell you what the NAICS are. And when you, especially when you're going after government contracting, they all fall into a NAICS code. If you're talking about franchises, or franchises, your client. Now, franchises marketing is a little bit different, but you can hit a franchise or and find out now that's when you really hit pay dirt. You hit a franchisor and incorporate your service, and now your service is going to be spread out over that entire franchise. How many franchises have up to 500 locations? We're talking about pay dirt. Another way of targeting is the geographic area. I'll give myself, I'll use myself another example. In my area, I'm over in Largo, Maryland, 20774. Within that circle, within that geographic circle, I know that I'm going to have a better chance of bringing in clients than, let's say, somebody out in California, somebody in North Carolina, somebody in even across the bridge in Virginia. I would take those clients any day of the week. But I know right in the geographic area where I am, my name is better known. It's a much easier. It's a lot less effort to get them to come to my office or me to get to them. I can identify with their needs because I'm in that geographic area. So geographic area is another good way of targeting. Even down to the street address, once again, that's the way we're targeting. The radius from your address, you might say, look, I am at 20744. Let's draw a circle around that, and what zip codes now are within that? I might hit Lanham, there may be Greenbelt, I may hit Bowie. So you want to do a radius around your area, another way to geographic target. And you're going to see why this applies in a minute when I get to the type of engagement channels. Here's another one, the number of employees. There's a big difference between targeting a company that has one employee or just the owner himself than a company that has 30, 40, or 50 employees. The payoff can be different. The type of services they need is different. One may need insurance plans. One may not. One may need uniforms. Another may not. So the number of employees can make a big difference. If I'm trying to sell uniforms, I'm not going to spend time trying to sell to a company that has one person. That's going to get me one shirt. But if I'm selling to somebody that has a fleet of trucks, they have employees out in the field, then I'm going to focus on that company that has the number of employees that's going to actually make it worth my effort. Also, estimated sales volume. How much money are they making? You can find this information. You can go to the Dunn's or a lot of sources and find out the sales volume of the company. Somebody who's making, you know, $5,000 a year might not be a target unless that's your niche. So I'm not saying discount any group. That $5,000 sales volume could be a great niche depending on the service. One, they may need some marketing services to get it up to $10,000 or $100,000. So look at that niche of the sales volume. The title of the executive is another good way to target. You don't always have to hit the president. If you're selling insurance plans, or if you Aflac or somebody, you may hit the HR person or the CFO. You may not want to go to the sales manager or the operations manager. So you want to know the title of the executive, so that marketing piece lands into the right hand of the right person. You also look at things like the business credit rating scores, things like that. The ethnicity of the executive that you're going after. That could make a difference. If the person is one ethnicity over another, then that could make a difference on what type of service that you're offering, okay? What type of business expenses do they have? Every business has expenses. There's an old saying, if you want to find out where a company's priorities are or a person's priorities are, look at their check statement. Look at their check statement. That's going to tell you what everybody's priorities are. I don't care who it is. If I look at your bank statement today, I can tell you things about you. You say, wait a minute, how did you know that? Because I can tell you where you'll spend your money. And also things like your square footage. How much square footage does this company have? That's going to make a big difference. If I'm trying to sell floor covering and somebody's only got 10 square feet, that's just a waste of time for me than somebody who has 15,000 square feet. So those are some of the things you want to use to help target those customers, okay? Now let's quickly talk about the engagement channels. Now that we've identified who they are, here's some things you need to consider. One, what is your brand? What is your logo? What is your content? What is your guarantee? So branding could play a big part in preparing yourself to engage with these customers. You want to talk about how you're going to reach them. Direct mail is a good way to reach people through business. You want to use platforms like Everdoor Direct Mailing, great tool for reaching people in a certain geographic area. The phone number, the email address, do they have social media or not? Are they a Google partner? Do they engage in things like networking, radio, their website? You want to look at these different channels and say to yourself, which one of these channels is going to help me reach that particular audience that I've identified? What I want you to do is go to Gatewood Marketing. Just go to Gatewood Marketing, and there's a big red button up at the top called See Our Budget-Friendly Packages. Some of these packages are tailored specifically to help you reach those markets, to reach those business-to-business partners. And folks, you do that, and that's going to wrap up my show for today. Go out here. You can make that business-to-business connection, but you're going to need the right tools and some help. I'm glad to provide that help. Folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. We're going to wrap it up for today. Tish, thank you again. We'll see you in a few weeks. And if you want to be successful, folks, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing, do it at the right time, and you got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Good morning, I'm Nick Bovee. Here's the latest from News1.com, brought to you by the Ad Council. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, an online resource center that connects you with experts and other caregivers. They're here to help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. A Potomac high school student is dead after a shooting in Oxon Hill.